So we needed to keep the old folks safe and home. But anyway, I'm glad you guys are with us. Give you a couple more minutes to have everybody sign in. I think I see a new person here. Kristen, are you new? If you are, welcome.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay, let me see if I can get my volume up. Okay, how's that? Is that better? My volume's all the way up.
Okay, it
I
may
can
be
hear you
me.
good.
Yeah, I can hear perfectly.
Yeah,
Okay,
me
let me go
too.
back
back out and in.
Okay. Giving everybody an extra minute or so. There you go. Perfect. Yeah, rule number one when working with electronics, especially computers, if it's not working, turn it off and then turn it back on again. Simplest, sometimes the simplest solution is the best. So, what do we got here? 10:01 at 10:03. We'll begin. Looks like everybody's comfortable and warm and safe. Yep. Okay. All right, I think we're good this morning. So, as we do every other Sunday morning, today would be a little bit different because we're completely online today, due to the weather. So, we hope you all keep safe and warm and comfortable. Sometimes spirituality can be like a warm blanket. Doesn't always have to be an uphill climb. Doesn't always have to be a lot of work. Sometimes it can be something wonderful, comforting, simple, embracing. BJ and Larry, good morning, guys. Okay, we got a number of last minute comers. Perfectly okay. Yeah, we just got a whole bunch of people the last minute or so, which is cool. So I'm going to suggest that you close your eyes for a moment. Take a couple of deep breaths. And relax. Soften. Let each one of us open our hearts to the knowing that we will learn today exactly what we need to learn. And we don't have to figure out what the purpose is. Because sometimes the purpose is so far beyond what I might be able to grasp with my thinking mind that it's impossible to know. I can know that I am on an upward spiral, that my soul, my spirit, is constantly growing. And that every moment of my existence, there is something to be grateful for. And gratitude, by its very nature, opens my heart. You can stretch a bit and open your eyes when you're ready. Imagine what it would be like to become aware of what you were like before this incarnation. That you were in a spaciousness of growing, of learning, becoming, and also a spaciousness of getting ready to connect with material form again. And before you came into existence in this physical plane, you decided that there were a number of lessons that you desired to learn this time around. And you decided beforehand, this is not predestination, this is just setting things up for our life here on planet Earth. You decided beforehand, these are some of the lessons that I am choosing to learn. I am not completely in control of governing the circumstances that present those lessons to me. That is so huge and so complex that I can't even get into it, but it's real. And so you come here on planet Earth. And instead of looking at things being problems or difficulties, you recognize them not only as being lessons to learn, but lessons that you have chosen to learn. So this is a kind of a silly for instance. Let's suppose that one of the lessons that I decided to learn was that you are not your body. And one of the ways I decided to learn that lesson was to come through as a premature baby 2 months early, and also being rather shorter than most people. So whenever they said, okay, line up according to height, I didn't have to look around, I just went to the front of the line. And for a while, that got me down until I began to realize that this body that I've chosen is full, chock full of lessons that I have chosen to learn this time around. Being short, being alcoholic, being this, whatever's going on, both healthy and not healthy, are things that I have chosen to learn something from. So we're going to start with something like that this morning on page 337. And as you well know, you're more than welcome chiming in anytime you want to ask or comment. And for those of you who might be new this morning, welcome. And if you'd like to be part of this mailing list that we're on, to get a class summary every week, to get a meditation, to get a reflection, and to get a video link, if you haven't gotten one already, you can email me at this very simple email address, Jerry Boy, GERRYBOY, at TWC.com. And I will make sure you get on our list. If you have some questions you want to ask about the class, feel free to use that as well. Page 337. Ending of this paragraph on the middle of the page. If, by the way, if you don't have a book, we read it out loud so you don't have to have one. If you have one, it sort of helps, but it's not a necessity. The paragraph that I'm speaking of ends with this sentence: "The new will not be known unless the dam breaks." Which means the new cannot be known unless surrender happens. Unless the old is let go of or released. Jesus had a wonderful image of putting new wine in old wineskins. Doesn't work. Your world, in some cases, will go through a similar process. The raising of institutions that are no longer in truth may be an occurrence. But a raising sounds violent. But in fact, what is happening is a lifting. And as we have described, things that are not in truth cannot live in truth. And that is where you are going. How can I express that? Old patterns of behavior, old thought forms, old pieces of identity that we might have used to identify ourselves with. Once we reach a certain stage in our spiritual development, those old ways of doing things don't fit anymore. You can try them if you want to, but they're usually going to be rather uncomfortable. It's kind of like once you surrender, it's kind of hard not to surrender anymore. You can't take that away and say, "Well, I changed my mind. Sorry." Okay, it just doesn't work. I mean, again, you can try to make it work, but it just doesn't happen. When you see something, let's say when you see yourself or see someone else differently, in a loving way, in a compassionate way, it's going to be very, very difficult to see them differently again. So even if they do something annoying or something that's a really, really a pain in the neck, once you've crossed that threshold to see them as they truly are, you can't take that back. You can pretend, but it doesn't happen that way. If you guys can think of other examples like that, please chime in. When you hold a field of truth and you are in consort with that, those things in lower vibration must be attended to in the higher vibration you hold. In other words, I deal with them in a loving way rather than an angry way. Oh, I know how to change this about myself. I'm going to beat the hell out of my ego until it stops bothering me anymore. Well, good luck. The way the ego changes or transforms is by you and me loving it. And loving it exactly the way it is, or exactly the way I perceive it at this moment, it's not a bad thing. It's a pain in the ass sometimes, but it's not a bad thing. It is simply a part of the vehicle that I've chosen to be here on planet Earth with. And I have the opportunity right now to deal with it in a loving way. It's a 3-year-old. So you don't beat the hell out of a 3-year-old just because it's annoying you. You love it back into calmness into being. My favorite image of that is imagining that you're standing on a corner of a busy street. Traffic's moving very, very quickly, and you want to get to the other side, and you're holding this little 3-year-old in your arms. And the 3-year-old is scared, is frightened, and doesn't want to go across the street, wants to stay safe where it is. You say, no, we're going to the other side. I don't force, I pick it up and I say, I'm going to carry it to the other side and things are going to be okay. So you pick up the little 3-year-old and wait till the light turns green and you walk across the street. Now the 3-year-old might be kicking and screaming and struggling the whole time, right? But by the time you get to the other side, it's okay. You haven't done that by force, you haven't done that by hatred or anger. You've done it as gently and as lovingly, but you've done it as well as you could. And you don't, when you get to the other side of the street, you don't say to the 3-year-old, see, I told you it was going to be okay. This is not parental. This is like, I know you're frightened, I know you're scared. Maybe the next time we have to cross the street like this, it won't be so difficult. How can I do this differently? How can I do this lovingly? When you hold the field of truth and you are in consort with that, those things in lower vibration must be attended to in high vibration, high frequency that you now hold. Once I love you, I cannot unlove you. Once I see you in compassion, once I see you as a loving being, I can't see you any different. I can get annoyed or angry at you, but I really can't see you any different from the truth of who you are. And that same is true for me. I can't see myself except for the truth of who I am. And once I see myself for the truth of who I am, I can't unsee myself. I will forget. I might fall off the horse every once in a while, but I will not lose track of that as being my truth. As we teach you today, we realize that the end of this journey may not be what it seems. If I finish this book and I am not awakened, did I do it wrong? My ego says. If you have made it thus far and you have done the work of the text, the changes are present, perhaps first in your field and your energy, but everything happens first in frequency you hold prior to being manifest in form, so you must trust that. And as soon as you say something like that, my ego hops in. Well, do I really know that? Have I really grown? Have I really stretched? Am I really different from who I was a week ago, a year ago, a minute ago? And here's where it's so important of being able to listen to the voice of your heart. Your ego is always going to be full of doubts. Your heart knows. Am I different? Am I changed? Am I more loving? Am I more compassionate? Am I more open? Am I moving in the right direction? All of those questions are low frequency, low vibration questions that need to be answered on a higher vibration. And the higher vibration is always going to say yes. A higher vibration is not doubtful at all. It knows the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you can say, well, have I really done the work of this book? Maybe I missed something. Maybe I messed it up because I'm used to messing things up in my life. Stop. Stop. Your mind might say that, your ego might say that, your heart sure says, no, you don't. You're okay. You're perfect just the way you are. Perfect. It's the paradox of spirituality. You are perfect just the way you are, and you are becoming more perfect every moment. You can't figure that one out. It's not a deliberate puzzle, it just happens to be the truth. You are perfect just. I learned that a number of years ago when I was struggling with that with myself. So it was, either I'm perfect the way I am, or I have to do some work to be perfect. That's the way my mind works. My mind works with dichotomies and dualism. And so it thinks that it has to be either one or the other. Whereas my heart knows that it can be true either way. So the image that came to my mind was something that I know I've probably talked about before, is my grandson Finn, my dearly love, and said, well, do you love him exactly where he is, or do you love him where he's going to be? You can't have both. I said, well, of course I can. I can love him exactly where he is in this moment, and I can love whatever he is becoming. And in my heart, in my soul, in my higher consciousness, there is no contradiction to those things. I can love him just the way he is, and I can love his becoming at the same time. And that can be an excellent rule of thumb to follow in any relationship. I love you just the way you are, and I am open to loving you even more. And they did not have to contradict themselves or one another.
Jerry?
Jerry.
Yes, John.
Hope this makes some sense. As a consultant, one of the things that I'm very much aware of is that I can go into a system and I can find a problem and I can fix the problem. But that doesn't mean that I have maximized performance in that system. All I've done is addressed one problem. Or I can go in and I can look at the system as a whole and go, okay, so how can I maximize this system that I'm going through or that we're using? And that will address the problem, but it will probably address multiple problems that exist. But if you just focus on the problem and not the system, then you're sub-optimizing. So I'll give you a real example from the last couple of weeks. I've had asthma all my life. Generally, it's allergic to dogs or cats or something in the air, smog or something. And so, as I continued to get worse and worse with my asthma over the last couple of months, I assumed it was something in the air. And we tried to deal with that problem. What I found, what I finally had to go into the hospital, and what I found out was, none of the asthma medicine I was taking was helping because it wasn't asthma. It was my heart. So getting to your heart image metaphor that you've been using this morning, my heart was having a problem. And what they did was they put something down my throat and they electrified my, or sent an electrical charge to my heart until they got it back going the way it had been, the way it should be. So instead of beating at like 170 beats per minute, which is where I was, it was back down to like 70, 75 beats per minute. So the heart, we're basically talking about an entire system. And there, I think that this is relevant in terms of how we think about life and how we think about spirituality. And you're going all the way back to what did I plan before I even came here? What are the lessons that I can learn from this so that I can then move on to something else? All of these things play out as part of a whole system of spirituality and spiritual growth and what happens in our lives. I hope that made sense. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, John. What I was thinking as I was listening to you, was instead of treating the symptom, you treat the cause. And sometimes that takes some work on our part to figure out, not to figure out, but to be open to doing that. It's much easier kind of playing whack-a-mole with symptoms, right, than it is really treating the cause of what's going on. So if we can put that in a spiritual context, sorry, I just thought of something. I'll say it out loud. It's not a secret. But I know I sometimes quote 12-step literature, and just popped into my head. The way it's spoken of in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the root cause of all of our problems is self-centered fear. The root cause of all of our problems is self-centered fear. Isn't that interesting? So that's what needs to be addressed. And of course, where does self-centered fear come from? My ego consciousness, which I think is running the show. So now here's another layer of that. I could say, well, self-centered fear is due to my ego consciousness. So what I'm going to do is beat the hell out of my ego until it stops being afraid. Doesn't work. As we said a moment ago, the way it works is if I embrace this little wounded, hurt, frightened 3-year-old and love it, literally love it into being softened, it's not going to go away, but it's going to be okay, and it's going to realize that it's not running the show. And that's okay too. And that's treating the cause rather than the symptom. So thanks for that, John. I didn't want to put too many words in your mouth, but I think we're speaking about the same thing. On page 338, the ideals you hold about what ascension is, raising up, lifting up, getting higher. What it looks like at the top of the mountain may be true, or they may be born in ego. In other words, sometimes difficult to tell the difference between the two. So as we take you into the next section of this text, we must assure you that what you require, that your requirement will be to release the expectation. Because as we have said, the innocent sees with new eyes. She perceives all as new. And as you have stepped forward thus far, you will be invited to come again up the mountainside. Two things there. Try not to get lost in expectation. Well, when I make this change in my life, then dot, 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 this is going to happen. Because I don't know. One of the questions that the ego cannot answer is, when was the last time you predicted the future with any accuracy? Because its vision of the future is always a creation of or a recreation of the past. And again, I'm not saying that as a put down, I'm just saying that's just very real. So try not to get lost in your expectations about what changes are supposed to bring or what they're supposed to do for you. Just know that that's part of my process. And the other piece to that is that there are two ways of looking at things. One way is through my higher consciousness, and another way is through my ego, my personality, my lower vibrational consciousness. They both will give me some information. The lower consciousness is not bad, it's just lower and just limited. And so what I need to be able to do every once in a while when I find myself in a place of change or transformation. To ask myself, where is that information coming from? Is it coming from my heart or is it coming from my fear? And then we can make a decision about what I'm going to do with that one or how I'm going to work that one. But it might be important to ask ourselves that before I jump in the water, ask myself, you know, is this the lake I'm really supposed to be swimming in?
Jerry.
Yeah.
So let me jump in with, because you triggered something for me. You're right about the cause. We sometimes look at what's going on and we're not even identifying the right cause. And in my case, I was not identifying the right cause. I was identifying a symptom, but because it felt like asthma, I didn't realize it was shortness of breath. And that is different. I did not know that. I didn't look at it that way. So as we define what the problem is that we're trying to address, that allows different ways of fixing the problem, of moving in the right direction, of actually solving the problem and not just living with it or dealing with it in the way we have been. I hope that made sense.
Sure. To stretch that a little bit, John, one of the traps that the ego sets every once in a while is, well, that's just the way I am. Okay. In other words, let's not try to change or transform anything. Let's just see if we can get comfortable with what we think is. Actually, it's becoming comfortable with what's really uncomfortable. That's just, if you find yourself saying, that's just the way I am, put on the brakes for a minute. Say, do I really want to live out of that as being my truth? Or do I want to say, that's a great excuse for not doing anything about what is out of the picture? Chapter 11, The Mountaintop. Here's a great sentence right in the beginning of this chapter. There is no need to justify anything anymore. And my ego goes, but. And my soul goes, yeah, you're right. I don't have to justify. Because I justification means trying to get at something that I'm not sure whether it's true or not. When I know it's the truth, there's no need to justify it. It is the truth. There is no need to justify anything anymore. Those days have finished. The excuses you have made for not having been where you think you should be, not having arrived yet, are finished. Wouldn't that be great if we could let go of, am I there yet? You see, that's again another paradox of spiritual life. There's no getting there. It's all process. It's all movement. It's not, unfortunately, Paul in one of his epistles said something to the effect of, I have won the race. I've gotten the prize. I think that was a very unfortunate choice of language on his part. By the way, Paul and I have our differences. That's one of them. I just think that what he did was he sort of put a cap on things and say, okay, I've gotten there. I've reached the place where I'm supposed to reach. Whereas I believe, my belief in spiritual life, spiritual existence is that it's constant movement. You don't get there. There is right here. There is right now. And there is the next right now, and the next right now, and the next right now. So there's not a goal to be reached. There's a process to be worked through continually. How much is enough unconditional love? Well, okay, well, that's enough. But it doesn't work that way. Either you are open to it right now and open to it more the next moment, again and again and again and again. God is, how can I put this? God is always in motion. God is always expanding. Your capacity for unconditional love is always expanding. And when I find myself putting a cap on that and say, okay, that's enough. I know that's time to stop, take a breath, examine the issue for a moment and say, how much is enough unconditional love? Is there ever enough? Or is it a constantly expanding, evolving sense of the truth of who I am, which I believe is the truth? The excuses you have made for not having been where you think you should be, not having arrived yet, are finished. You stand before yourselves today just as you are. And in this moment, in this very moment, you have made a claim of your independence from all the attachments of this world that would hold you back from claiming the kingdom, claiming the truth of who you are. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called What Are You Holding On To That's Holding You Back? And it was sort of a compilation of my spiritual journey, of some of the varied things that I knew I needed to let go of, or surrender to, or heal, or grow into. And this is another way of saying the same thing. What am I holding on to that's holding me back? And that's not a judgment. It's saying, there's an area in my life that I could soften a little bit more. Let's say I'm addicted to sugar, which I am in some ways, okay. Now I can say, well, I need to cut that out of my life. Can't do that anymore. Anything that has sugar in it, I'm going to throw in the garbage. Am I ready for that? Let's suppose I'm addicted to impatience. My stuff, me, moi. Do you think just because I realize that I'm addicted to it and I want to change it, that it's going to go away? Would that were true, okay? Jim is shaking his head. You know, he's already tried that a couple of times, right? But once I realize it, it's how can I, here's another paradoxical place for me anyway. How can I do this gently? How can I do this gently? And if I don't have a way of doing it gently, wait until I do have a way of doing it gently. Because if I do it harshly or with anger or with hatred or with judgment, it's just going to come back to bite me on the behind. When I was years ago, it was probably about 30, 35 years ago when I quit smoking. I knew I needed to do it. I knew it was an addiction that was draining me of some life, some energy. And I knew I needed to quit. And I wanted to. But I just didn't seem to be able to. And so I would, I went through all of these different stages. I would, throw my cigarettes out. And then I would find myself borrowing cigarettes from somebody. And then I might go for a couple of days without smoking, but I was walking up the wall at the same time. So that's not working terribly well. And then I tried some breathing techniques. I took it into meditation for with me. I did all the things that I knew how to do, and I was still smoking. I said, oh, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to grit my teeth and quit. And I did that for a while, did it for a couple of weeks. And I was really proud of myself. So I'm not smoking, I'm not smoking, I'm not smoking, I'm not. And then all of a sudden, this compulsion, literally this compulsion to smoke, took me over. It was like I didn't have a choice. Obviously, I knew I did have a choice, but I didn't have a choice. I lived across the street from a little 7-Eleven. And I found myself walking down the steps of my apartment, walking across the street saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Got to the store, got to the 7-Eleven. I ordered a pack of cigarettes. Pack of cigarettes, they said, the brand that I was smoking was called Real Cigarettes, if you can imagine that. I don't know what false cigarettes were like, but these were real. So I said, well, give me a pack of real menthols. And the lady behind the counter said, they don't make those anymore. What a moment of choice I had at that time. They don't make these anymore. Well, I just need to go home because I can't, that's what I wanted. I said, well, I changed, but give me a pack of Cool's menthol. Got them, took them back home, smoked that cigarette, smoked another one, was full of just angst and smoke and everything else. Then I took the pack of cigarettes that I had smoked three out of and I put it under the faucet and I threw, so they were wet and spoiled and I threw them in the garbage. That night, I got up in the middle of the night because I wanted a cigarette. Went to my garbage pail, pulled out this wet pack of cigarettes. Pulled the cigarette out of the pack because I didn't want to break the filter off for some reason. Held it gently in my hand, put it in the microwave, and dried it out. And I'm getting ready to light it up. And I'm saying to myself, Jerry, this is really an addiction. This has got you by the nuts, man. And at that moment, I dropped a cigarette, said, okay. I got to pray about this. And I remember sitting down on my floor and saying, God, that I've tried everything I know how to try, including surrender. And nothing seems to have worked. And it was one of those prayers that got an answer back almost right away. And the message was, Jerry, you haven't quit yet, but you are in the process of quitting. Do everything that you know how to do and don't blame yourself or beat yourself up for buying another cigarette again. But recognize that you are in the process of quitting and that it will happen for you. You will be guided at the right time, at the right place, at the right moment. And I said, okay. I let go of all of the methods that I was using to try and quit. And I said, if I smoke, I smoke. If I don't, I don't. But I know that I'm on the path of quitting. And sure enough, fairly soon after that, there came a day when at the end of the day, I recognized I didn't smoke today. I didn't even want to smoke today. I didn't even think about smoking today. Well, maybe I can carry some of that energy into tomorrow. And I did that. And I did that. And I did that. So if somebody asked me, when did you quit smoking? I say, I have no idea. I can give you a month and a year, but I can't tell you anything else about it because I don't know when that first day of quitting was, because I didn't know that was my first day of quitting. I knew I was doing the best I could do up until that particular moment.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
So, man, that's a wonderful story, man. So what I think about is what you've always shared in these classes, you had a willingness. There was a willingness there that I don't want to smoke. It was there. It was that bridge. As to when that was going to happen, not sure, but the willingness was there until that willingness became your story.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Jim. That's the truth. You stand before yourselves today just as you are. And in this very moment, you have made a claim of your independence from all the attachments of this world that would hold you back from claiming the kingdom, claiming the truth of who you are. In this moment, you are free of whatever attachments might have been holding you back. Now, when we hang up the phone in a couple of minutes, they might be back again. But in this moment, you are free. And if you are free in this moment, then you can create that freedom in other moments. It is possible. If it's possible in this moment, it's possible in any moment. The words they use in this book occasionally, I am free, I am free, I am free. And I am free because I'm working out of my higher self, my higher consciousness. My ego might still be in chains, but I can love it even if it's in chains. And I can allow it to be as free as it possibly can be in this moment. We're going to do one more paragraph and then we can do our meditation. Now, the identity you hold has been molded in a higher way to claim the truth of yourselves. Not your small self, your higher consciousness. That has been the ambition of this text so far. And as the mold was set, mankind aligned and said, I know, I remember, I have said yes to my own claim of worth in knowing that I am here. I think we say that every Sunday morning and other times as well. I know why I am here. And I am here to recognize and to reinforce the truth of who I am. And because I am recognizing the truth of who I am recognizing the truth of who you are as well. So it's not just about seeing myself and not just my attachment to my small self's understanding. It's seeing you beyond my small self as well and saying, yeah, that's, I see you. I see you for the truth of who you are. I know you. I know you for the truth of who you are. I am free. So are you. Another way of looking at that, which just popped into my awareness, by me loving you, I help to set you free. By me loving you, I help to set you free. And of course, the other side of that is true as well. Isn't that simple? And yet tremendously profound. My loving you helps set you free. So let's take a few minutes. You can put your stuff down. Take a couple of breaths. Close your eyes if you like. Wow. I am always amazed at this wonderful spaciousness that we create through our energies together. It is a reinforcement of that whole truth that I am free. So I would encourage us to just allow ourselves to be enfolded in that spaciousness. Spaciousness of freedom, spaciousness of unconditional love. Spaciousness of knowing who you are beyond your body, beyond your mind, beyond your feelings. The spaciousness of the perfection of it all. The way Jesus put it in the Gospels is, I love you with an everlasting love. That no matter how you feel, no matter what you might be thinking, no matter what the circumstances of your life might be in this moment, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can take care of or get in the way of that unconditional love. For all the healing in my life, I am willing. For the release of all those attachments that might be getting in my way, I am willing. To see myself as I really am, I am willing. To see my brothers and sisters for who they really are, I am willing. I am willing, I am willing, I am willing. I am free, I am free, I am free. Deep breath, stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Does anybody have anything else as a closing thought you'd like to share before we close this morning? Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Stay safe. Stay well. Stay whole. Stay free.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Be safe, everybody.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to say thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. Stay safe.
Thank you, too. Jerry.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.